Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the Movies for Cultural Mining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. So, did you hear about that poor guy in Michigan? Apparently, he just wanted to go to a movie, but when he got into the theater, they literally held a gun to his head and forced him to buy a very expensive bag of popcorn. Literally. Can you believe it? Wait a second. I'm wrong. I read this wrong. Turns out he actually didn't like how much they charged him for the popcorn. So he's launching a class action suit against the movie chain for charging too much for popcorn. Question, is it fair for movie theaters to charge $6 for a bag of popcorn? Are moviegoers exploited and ripped off? Of course we are. Everyone knows that, but we're okay with it, right? I mean, you're in that theater paying to see moving images projected against a screen. It's the ultimate deception. The candy's too much, then don't buy it. They'll get your money one way or another. I think popcorn's up there with the huge screens, the surround sound, velvet curtain, plush seats, grand lobbies, and skeezy washrooms. It's the movie experience. These seemingly random parts are all part of a larger, coherent whole. So this week, I'm reviewing two movies that attempt to bring random parts together like that to make a bigger point about things like fate, morality, destiny, and retribution. One's a documentary about things you must pay back, and the other's a comedy about paths you must follow. First, Payback, directed by Jennifer Beishwal. So there are two farmers, Lesh and Ilir, who live in northern Albania in a lush valley surrounded by grassy hills and snow-topped mountains. So a few years ago, when Ilir went to complain that Lesh was farming his land, there's a fight, and it may have involved Lesh's wife, but in any case, Lesh pulls out a machine gun and shoots Ilir in the gut a few times. So he survives, but according to the 16th century Albanian ethics code called the Kamun, Lesh owes Ilir a debt. So Lesh and his family are poor now, trapped inside a shack, and they're not able to farm. This is just one of the many tangents this movie takes you on a look about debt, moral, ecological, monetary, and legal debt, along with penitence, guilt, and retribution. They're all really interesting stories. There's a Latino farmers living in Florida fighting for fair treatment. There's a fisherman in the Gulf of Mexico enduring ruin after BP's mishandled oil disaster. And then there's a look at various Canadian prisoners, a petty burglar in Ontario, and get this, Conrad Black in Florida, both serving their time, repaying their debt to society. The documentary parts are alternated with talking heads, really interesting, like Louise Barbour, Karen Armstrong, Raj Patel, who comment on law, economics, and religion. This movie is sort of based on the Massey lectures Margaret Atwood gave a few years ago. Brilliant look at the words around lending, borrowing, owing, and being owed. I say sort of, since it almost seems like one of those romantic thriller movies that they say were inspired by a true story. Jennifer Beishwal's documentaries usually find a starting point and then, like a Stephen Leacock character, they fling themselves onto a horse and ride madly off in all directions. Is this a problem? Not really, because even if they're all over the place, the subjects she chooses are all really interesting, and the movie is so visually rich. Cinematography by Nicolas de Poncier with images from ceramic figures seen through a pawn shop window to staggering long aerial shots of the BP oil slick creeping across the Gulf of Mexico. Images are just as fascinating as any of the things people are saying on the screen. I do get the feeling that Beishwal realizes it's all over the place, so to tie it all to Margaret Atwood's book, she adds long, very literal scenes of Margaret hunting, pecking on her laptop, Margaret reading from her manuscript. The talking heads are on screen too briefly to really stick in the mind, except for Conrad Black, who seems to have changed his opinion entirely about debt retribution and prisons. In any case, Payback is a great visual riff. Another movie that seems superficially to be about random drifting is Jeff, Who Lives at Home, directed by the Duplass brothers. I reviewed this after seeing it at TIFF last year, but it held up very well for the second viewing. I actually liked it better the second time I saw it. So Jeff, played by Jason Segel, is part of a dysfunctional family that falls apart when the father-husband died a couple years ago. Mom works in a lonely office cubicle. Douchey brother Pat, played by Ed Helms, sells paint and is destroying his marriage. And Jeff, who's 30, still lives at home. Sits around his mother's basement in his underwear, to be exact. He smokes pot, eats chips, watches TV, and waxes philosophical about the cosmos while sitting on a toilet. He's always waiting for signs to tell him what to do, like in the Mel Gibson movie. Well, one day, he's forced to leave home, leave the basement for downtown Baton Rouge to get something for his mother, Susan Sarandon, for her birthday. But when someone on an infomercial appears on TV and says, "Your life will change. Call now." And at the same time, a strange, threatening, wrong number comes in on his telephone asking for Kevin. So he starts off on this seemingly wild goose chase all around Baton Rouge. So Jeff embarks on this grand mission, one that eventually ties in with his brother's failing marriage and his mother's love life, because he knows, he just knows that his actions will change the world. Will Jeff find Kevin? Will Pat forget about Hooters and Porsches and think about his wife for once in a while? And will Mom ever get to kiss under a waterfall? This is a good, enjoyable comedy. I like the Duplass brothers, who used to make low-budget, mumblecore, semi-improvisational, super-realistic movies. They have a few quirks, like camera emoticons. I don't know how else to describe it, where the camera zooms in and a nudge-nudge, wink-wink to the viewer that something funny's happening here, sort of like a visual laugh track. But the movie's really good enough that those little things don't bother you after a while. In this one, Jeff, who lives here, is the biggest budget and most mainstream so far, with stuntmen and chase scenes and big-name cast, but I like the direction they're taking. It's not a sellout. It's a very funny, light, comic way of doing things. Payback and Jeff, who lives at home, both open today, and Margaret Atwood and Jennifer Beishwal will be there for the first two screenings for a Q&A tonight and Saturday. Also playing at the Tiff Bell Lightbox are the fantastic Japanese animated film Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke. If you have a chance, see those, because they don't play very often. And at the newly reopened Bloor Cinema, look out for the Daily Hot Docs documentaries playing now. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.